Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
He looks determined without being ruthless. Something heroic in his manner. There's a courage about him. Doesn't look like a killer. Comes across so calm. Acts like he has a dream. Full of passion.
You don't trust me, huh?
Well, you know why.
I do. We're not supposed to trust anyone in our profession anyway.
Okay, and... are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hello, I'm world-famous television news broadcaster Brendan McLaughlin, and you're listening to The Homemade Broadcast. That makes you really smart.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1...
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. My name is William Koontz. Welcome back to the show, folks. I hope you are fine. You're safe. Hopefully you're not in the panhandle. Had a rough week down in the panhandle earlier this week when Hurricane Michael tore through the area as a Category 4. Pretty scary stuff. Apparently it's the strongest landfall in that area in history. And I think it's the first Category 4 that hit since Andrew, is it? Or maybe it was Charlie? I don't think Charlie was even that strong. But was that 10 years ago now? But pretty scary. I saw some of the pictures. I'm sure you all have. It's been on repeat, you know, on the news all this week. And it's terrible stuff, man. I always said when Irma rolled through last year, even though it kind of clipped this area, that I was, if this ever happened again, I was going to be out because it was intense. I remember watching the storm. I went over to my dad's house because he has ammunition and water and guns and, you know, all that stuff that I don't really have. And I'm too, not that I'm lazy. I know I need to get, you know, food and water and all that. I just don't do it because I'm an idiot. And you should. And you should be prepared because you never know when something like this could happen. This storm, Michael, you know, all of a sudden it was just this little stupid dinky, you know, low pressure system, and it just rapidly turned into this massive Category 4 hurricane. And I was looking at some of the maps and saying, you know what? I'm gonna ride this thing out. I'm not gonna go anywhere because I said, man, I'm out. I'm peacing out. If a storm ever comes close like that again, because I saw my neighbors were without power for 3 weeks, but already how soon we forget, and I don't forget, I remember exactly what it was like last year. But I was still like, meh, I'm going to roll this thing out, see what happens. I'm going to stay here in town if something does happen. Plus, where am I going to go? I don't have anywhere to go. Go to Dad's house. He's got guns and ammo and food and water and stuff. Got to be a burden on him at 30 years old. But, yeah, terrible thing down there and up in the panhandle. And make sure you, you know, give some money, some shekels to those people out there. Donate some food. I know there's lots of opportunities. Lots of local media organizations are having, you know, places you can donate. I know the Bone's doing one. I think it was this past Friday, though, so I think you missed your opportunity there. But you can always donate online. There's GoFundMes. There's just research where your money's going. That's the main thing because, man, you see all these CEOs for these nonprofits that are getting paid millions of dollars. The booby lady, the Susan G. Komen, I think, 90 or 80% of their what they bring in goes to operating costs, and 20% goes to research. I don't know what the Red Cross does. I think that's one of the good ones. I don't know. Salvation Army. One of the either Salvation Army or Red Cross isn't that great. I don't remember which one it is. I don't want to disparage the one that it's not. But Goodwill, that's another where the CEO makes like $300,000 a year or something. So just research where your money goes. Make sure you're sending it to the right place. And you can never go wrong with just donating goods, I suppose, unless it sits on a landing strip somewhere in Puerto Rico, like all that water did in with Maria last year. It was Columbus Day also earlier in the week, and I know people were upset. My white friends were very upset that it was Columbus Day because he slaughtered Indian native peoples back many, many years ago when he discovered America. Guess what? I learned this week. He didn't even land in continental United States. No. Christopher Columbus went down along the Yucatan, came back up to Hispaniola, which I believe is now Haiti and the Dominican Republic, and then kind of just went back around. So I found it. That's America over there. He kind of just laid the groundwork for other people. I don't know who the first one, I was too lazy to look up who was the first one to actually land in the United States, but it wasn't Christopher Columbus. So everyone's upset, of course, because he, you know, he wasn't a nice guy. He did some pretty crappy things to the people. Guess what? So did everybody else. Everybody was mean to each other and not nice. This was all eye for an eye type of stuff. But, of course, all my white friends on Twitter talking about Indigenous People Day and how much Christopher Columbus sucked. Yeah, we know. Every year you remind us. Yes, we understand. But let's compartmentalize these good things that came from Christopher Columbus, which is, I guess, present-day America, probably one of the most awesome civilizations that has ever existed in the world. I know that's hard to believe, but unfortunately, it's true. This is the best we could manage so far, and it's only getting better, believe it or not. 813-693-2124 is the message, or the voice and text line here. You can leave a voicemail or a text message. I will read it or listen to it and maybe even play it on this podcast if you want. And don't forget to visit hmbradio.com. That's a website. Subscribe to this podcast. You don't want to miss one of these. I know. So make sure you subscribe. Let me send you some stickers. Email me or send the text or whatever. Send me your address and I will send out some HMB Radio stickers right to your door. Courtesy. I'll take care of the postage. Courtesy of my day job. Thank God for them. Very nice. I can't pay for it. But get your stickers. HMBRadio.com. You can hit the contact page. Get all that information like the Facebook page, HMB Radio and Radio St. Pete. And stay woke while you're there. And why not 102.5 The Bone as well. I do a show there with Anna Hummel at midnights and the Johnny B Show on Wednesday nights. So be sure to check that out. Download the apps. Download the Radio St. Pete app, and then you got the 102.5 The Bone app. You can go to Tampa Bay Podcast. We got all the shows. Mine and all the other Radio St. Pete shows are listed there, and you can listen to them at your leisure. This podcast is brought to you by Truvy Salon and Spa. That's right. Just got an email. Guess what? Botox lady's coming. Oh, yeah, brother. You know, Halloween's coming up, and you don't want to look like a real-life witch. Nope. You got to get some poison injected straight into your eyeballs and face. Smooth everything out so you'll be looking fresh and clean to just paint your face again and dress as whorish as you can to celebrate Halloween, because that's what America and Halloween is all about. So get your hair done, get your Botox done, get your nails done, whatever you want to do to celebrate, I don't know, America and Halloween and stuff. So do it up. 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Petersburg. Make your appointment today at truvysalonandspa.com. And, of course, homemadepodcast.com. That is my consulting media company. If you ever thought about podcasting but don't know where to start, I can help you when it comes to equipment, when it comes to RSS feeds, you know, whatever. Give me a few bucks. I'll come help you. Or if you're a business that wants to create some sort of audio content to reach new and existing customers, I'm your guy. So check it out at homemadepodcast.com, 813-693-2124. This week on Stay Woke, we got into the UFC. yeah, I'm kind of a novice watcher. I pay attention very, a little bit, not much, but a little bit. And it was a big fight. It was Conor McGregor and this dude, Khabib Nurmagomedov, from Russia or something. And it was a big fight, and it was crazy at the end because the Khabib guy won and then just jumped out of the cage and did a flying kick at Conor McGregor's team. So it was really intense. Anna and I talked about that a little bit. And of course, we have a new Supreme Court justice. Yes, that's right. Brett Kavanaugh was sworn in, so we got into a little bit of that. Let's check that out from Stay Woke.
Khabib versus McGregor.
Woo, boy.
Amazing. Oh, and I mean, honestly, the fights weren't that fantastic. Like, the best fight I've ever seen in my life, and I mentioned this on Johnny's show, it was about 2 years ago, and it was I believe it was Nate Diaz versus Conor McGregor. Mm-hmm. That fight, man, it went to the bitter end, and I mean, it was just a bloody S show, and I had no idea who won. When I was watching it, I'm like, I don't know who's winning this fight, because it would be like McGregor around, and then it would be Nate Diaz, and they had some real beef too, but this fight, clearly Khabib won.
Oh, yeah.
Easily won. And then obviously at the end, he choked him out. And Conor tried to tap him and he didn't budge. And they tapped him again. And then finally the ref had to get involved. And then the big brawl at the end is what everybody's been talking about today. So I do have a little clip to kind of explain what happened if you somehow missed it all. Here it is.
The fourth round. Khabib Nurmagomedov! But it was just the beginning.
And now Khabib jumps the fence.
Okay, so right after the fight, Khabib wins, and without even skipping a beat, I don't understand how he did this. I mean, he's just been fighting for, what, four rounds? And then he jumps over the fence out of the cage and goes into the audience and starts beating the S out of one of McGregor's guys. I think it was one of his trainers or spar partners or something.
Yeah, it was. Well, it's all adrenaline at that point, I'm sure. Is he just going out and jumping out in this thing? It was actually his, I think it was his jiu-jitsu coach.
Okay.
And they were talking mad smack. This has been building for a long time.
For months and months. Yeah, I think they were attacking Khabib's religion and his country and his family and...
I don't think he really hit on his religions. What happened was at the presser, Connor's got a whiskey that he's trying to push really hard. And he had at the presser, he had his bottle of whiskey sitting up top there and was talking a lot of crap, you know. And then it got to a point. Now, the Khabib guy is a devout Muslim.
Yes.
Obviously, Muslims can't drink. So what he did was he poured him a glass of whiskey to kind of toast the fight. And a lot of people said that he was kind of knocking his religion about it, but I think he was just trying to poke the bear a little bit. I don't think he was saying, because he said, you know, the Khabib guy goes, I don't drink. He goes, why don't you drink? Oh. And he kind of wouldn't say anything about it. So I don't think he was really messing with his religion. He just knew that he can't drink and was just kind of poking him a little bit.
I get it, he's Muslim, but he's also Russian. He doesn't drink?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah. Is he Russian? Former Russian territories.
No. It's not like a Balkans. It's not like a Bosnian. He's Russian.
Okay.
He's Russian. All right. Here it goes again.
Even before savoring his victory, Nurmagomedov climbed over the cage and charged at one of McGregor's coaches, who witnesses say was taunting the Russian fighter.
Total chaos here.
A member of Nurmagomedov's team then jumped the cage and punched McGregor.
Oh, my God. So then after this whole brawl's going on in the audience, one of Khabib's guys, he's wearing a red shirt. If you see the clip, you'll see him jump over into the cage, and he just hits Conor McGregor in the back of the head like a little bitch.
Yeah, sucker punch.
Sucker punches him right in the back of the head. Horrible.
In the back of the head.
Jeez. This is not the way you want to represent the sport here.
UFC President Dana White, who has worked to clean up the sport's image, condemned the post-fight brawl.
You know, this is one of those spillover events where soccer moms are buying the pay-per-view and watching it at big parties and stuff. And this is how the night ends? It's just really disgusting and disappointing for me.
Disappointing, perhaps, but not surprising.
Did you not see me at the outside the bus, no?
The animosity between the two fighters had been building for months. McGregor pleaded guilty to assault after throwing a hand truck at a bus Nurmagomedov was traveling on back in April. The UFC used the video in promotional ads for Saturday night's fight, which they titled Bad Blood.
Now, do you think that this whole buildup, do you think all this drama, do you think it was all staged? It's hard to tell, right?
It is hard to tell, and I mean, it seems like if it is, it's a brilliant marketing scheme.
Absolutely.
But I don't... I don't know. I think it's 50-50. I think part of it's real. These guys don't like each other, clearly. Sure. But I think Connor is very, very good. He's a showman. He knows how to sell a fight. And I think he did all he could to push it absolutely as far as he could. And he did. He broke that Khabib guy. He shouldn't have did what he did.
Broke him after that fight.
Yeah, like he snapped him.
He
got beat up. Khabib beat up Conor McGregor. And then it spilled over afterwards. And then, of course, even Joe Rogan said after the fight, not only is it not ending between these two guys, but now it's going to spill out into the streets of Las Vegas. And it did. I saw a video.
Oh, it did?
Oh, yeah. I saw a video of a dude, some drunk Irish guy, get knocked out. Boy, it was violent. It wasn't fun to watch. It was, like, scary. Because when your head bounces off the concrete like that, it was one of those. And it, you know, hit him. So then you get the one shot.
Yeah.
And then you fall and hit your head again. That's where you can, like, die.
Absolutely.
It's not worth it over a stupid fight. Come on, absolutely.
And I remember my coach telling me that when I was training for the fight he was just talking about impact. He's like, you know, you get hit in the face, you get hit in the head, and you're standing up. It's unpleasant. It doesn't feel good. But at least your head has somewhere to go. If you're on the ground and you get hit in the head and you have nowhere to go, that's when you really run into some serious issues. But here's the rest of the video, guys.
USA Today reporter Martin Rogers was at the fight.
Dana White had the chance to say there's not going to be a rematch between these two guys. Did he take that opportunity? Of course he didn't. He knows there's a lot of money to be made down the track, and they're going to capitalize upon that.
Nurmagomedov apologized but says his opponent should bear some responsibility.
What about he talked about my religion? He talked about my country. He talked about my father. He come to Brooklyn and he broke bus. What about this?
Wow. Anyways, so that is what happened. I'd love to hear what you guys thought about the fight. Do you like good sportsmanships, you know, sort of relationships? Like, for some reason, it's really heartwarming when you see two guys just, like, going at it. And then at the end, they, you know, they shake hands, they give each other a hug, and they have respect for each other and for the sport. On one hand, I really admire that because you're like, wow, these guys are, like, you know, amazing athletes, and they beat the S out of each other. But then at the end, they just have so much respect and dignity that they, you know, they give each other a hug and congratulate each other. And then you see stuff like this where it's like, holy hell, literally anyone that fights Conor McGregor is like just freaking hates the guy, and you see like post fight fights and brawls breaking out in the street. And although that's kind of like unsettling and what Dana White called disgusting, it gets ratings, man. We're all still talking about it, and you know what? I think there's going to be a rematch.
This is setting
it up, man. Like, you see this fight, you're like, oh man, I'd love to see a rematch.
I'm a very casual fan. Okay. I don't really follow the sport. If it's a big fight like this one, I kind of know about it. So,
sure.
And honestly, I wasn't even going to go, but my buddy was like, hey, you want to go watch a fight? And I had nothing to do. So I was like, all right, yeah, I'll go watch it. That sounds cool. And I'm glad I did, because it made me research what the hell was going on. Uh-huh. So I've been watching YouTube videos about this all day long today. Mm-hmm. And this could get me interested in perhaps following the sport more. Even though it was a stain on the sport itself, it was very interesting and very drama. Lots of drama there.
Right.
So you could just kind of feed off that.
Absolutely. It's so funny because I feel like a lot of times girls get a bad rap for being dramatic or falling into drama, but it's a people thing. People love gossip and people love drama.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I actually did my undergraduate thesis on gossip, and they found out that, you know, you think women, you know, gossip more than men. Totally not the case.
Right,
everybody
right.
gossips. Everybody loves gossiping because, you know, typically you're exchanging information about people in your community. Obviously, it extends a bit further now with technology. You're about, you know, you can talk and discuss about celebrities and politicians. But for the most part, it's very useful to gossip because imagine if you had to learn everything firsthand. It would take you forever. You're like, now people, one guy, does, you know, some guy screws somebody over and you say, hey, everybody in my community, don't trust this guy. He's a piece of S, you know, and then you don't have to find out yourself. It saves you a lot of time. It saves you energy. It saves you resources. Turns out men and women gossip the exact same amount. They just do it differently.
I mean, you can even tell in some of the things that men watch, right? And women watch. So women will watch Bad Housewives or Real Housewives. And they're all screaming at each other and they're all drunk and stuff, and the Kardashians and their bull crap. But then men will watch, you know, WWE,
right.
You know, which is just talking smack and
sure,
you know,
storyline.
There's an element of violence there, but it's, you know, scripted. But they're still, of course, you know, putting their bodies on the line. And then this on Saturday night was WWE, but it was real.
Yeah,
boy, and that's why I was like, ooh, was a casual fan. Oh, dear. His heart was fluttering.
Yeah, no. The way that men and women gossip is a bit different. Like, women, their intonation changes a lot, so you know when someone is gossiping because you'd be like, oh, my God, did you hear? Like, stuff like that, and the way that they describe it in more detail. But men often gossip, but they apparently what they do is they just call it catching up. They're like, oh, yeah, and they're talking, hey, did you hear what Charlie did? He's a piece of crap. Hate that guy.
I feel like two men would say it more to your face. They'll, like, get it out in the open. Like, you'll fight or whatever, and then you can see that guy in a few weeks and be like, hey, man, how's it going? Like, once it's done with,
yeah,
it's done
yeah,
with.
Yeah, that too. But in terms of just exchanging information about people that you know, guys and girls do it all the same.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
just way more obvious when girls do
man,
it.
Man,
so.
I got text threads, many text threads with a few of my friends just talking heinously about individuals that
yeah,
we both
absolutely.
Know.
I mean, and gossip can be good too. I mean, gossip just, it has a bad connotation or a negative connotation, but really what it is just exchanging information about people in your community. That's really all it is.
Yeah,
and you
yeah.
can say really nice things about people. I mean, most of the time that's not as fun or no. interesting. But yeah, it's one of my favorite things to do, and it's something that I'm very good at. So
yeah,
you're welcome.
Me too.
You are welcome. So I want to hear from you guys. Do you guys like the drama behind fights like this, or can you appreciate good sportsmanship? I'm kind of like both. Like I appreciate the good sportsmanship, but there's just no way in hell it's as exciting as all this drama.
I'm with you. I mean, yeah. I'm into that too. But this was so bizarre and unprecedented mm-hmm. that it was just like, whoa, what is going on? And like I said, it took a casual fan and made me, you know, check out more about both these fighters and
right.
the UFC. And now I'm like, what's going to happen next? What's the next fight? So,
right.
I mean, for a casual fan, I think it was the best thing possible for them, even though I'm sure they're upset about it.
Sure. It's funny because it got me thinking, even though violence is never the answer, and I want to say never, like, in quotes, because sometimes it is.
It works every time.
Right, but do you think that you should give someone a free pass or be more lenient when someone is insulting your family or your religion or your country? I feel like people often give a free pass, or at least they used to more so. Like if someone came up to you and said a racial slur and you hit him in the face, most people would say that person deserved that. That
yeah.
person deserved what came to them. But now we're also kind of in this culture where, like, you know, there should never be any bullying and, you know, violence is never the answer and don't spank your kids. It's very kind of like hands-off sort of new age approach, but I still feel like most people would say, you know, if you come up to me and you insult my mother or my family, that gives me permission to, you know, discipline you in a physical way.
I would say, I mean, as far as words go, you shouldn't fight words with violence.
Sure.
But if somebody, you know, hits you, you should be able to fight
right.
back.
Well, that's like self-defense, but I'm just saying being aggravated by words alone. I mean,
nah.
it's never right.
No,
but, I mean, it happens all the time. I remember my dad said the first fight that he was in when he was in South Africa, someone came up to him and just looked at him and called him a dirty Jew, and he, like, you know, hit him right in the mouth and knocked out his two front teeth. So,
yeah, I'm not for
love
that.
You, Dad.
There are certain words that cannot be said at any point because it is a precursor to violence, and people view it as this is okay
hate speech.
Now.
Oh.
Well, yeah, hate speech, of course, but I'm allowed to beat you
right.
for saying a word, and, you know, there's no really repercussions for it.
Absolutely.
Even I think in the law, I guess if you went and complained to a cop, there's probably just people that don't complain, but if you say there's a few certain words that you can kind of just have free range and you can kind of just do whatever you want with that point. And that is not okay. That's not civil society. You
sure.
should just be say, hey, F you back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's a pretty crazy fight. So if you haven't seen it, definitely look it up. It's very entertaining and you will love it. 727-579-1025 or 800-771-1025. All right. Other big news that everyone is talking about, obviously, Kavanaugh got the confirmation and was sworn into the Supreme Court, I believe, Saturday. He got the confirmation. I guess he was sworn in that night, or I don't know.
He was sworn in today, actually, officially.
He had the ceremony today, but
yeah.
he got the, apparently today was his first full day on the job. And he hired an all-female, what was it?
His clerks. I don't really know what that means exactly, but it's like his assistants, paralegals.
Yeah, it's a... I don't even want to call it like a pity throw, but sort of like, ooh, look at me. You're welcome, ladies.
Oh, well, that was definitely done on purpose. But I know
he
has, you know, remember the lady that was given the okay sign behind him?
That yeah, got, this, the white supremacist that was a Mexican Jew.
The Mexican Jew, yeah. Yeah. Well, he was a longtime clerk for him. So, I mean, it's not the first time he's hired women. Mm-hmm. And I guess I don't know if he felt pressure, I'm sure. But to some, it makes him look a little better. But there's also, if he was trying to do that to please people, it's not going to please the people he wants
to
please.
Oh, absolutely not. So. No, he's way too far in the hole for that one. Democrats are pissed. Yeah, a lot of them are very upset. We're watching the protests, the fallout. Obviously, Amy Schumer got arrested. Amy Schumer actually wrote something on Instagram. I tagged Will in it the other day. I thought it was so absolutely ridiculous. I couldn't believe what she said because I thought it was racist what she was saying, among other things. But here we go. She retweeted this. Motion to refer to all women who prop up the patriarchy as Susan Collins from now on. As Susan Collins is from now on. So Susan Collins was the senator. She was the deciding vote, right? Mm-hmm. She voted to confirm Kavanaugh, and it became a slim win. What was it, 50 to 48?
Yeah, yeah.
If it was 49 to 49, Pence steps in, right? Is that how that works?
Would it be 49 to 49? I mean, there's
I know there's 100
senators,
but if you have 50,
somebody must have not have voted. A couple people must not have voted or something. Yeah. Yeah, if it's 50-50, then the vice president is the president of the Senate, and then he would in turn cast that deciding vote.
Right.
Yep, correct.
So she goes on to say, she is our Uncle Tom, okay? And wow. Uncle Tom is a term used for black people who act white, or they're essentially traitors to their own race. She said, Phyllis Schlafly, I don't know who that is, didn't roll off the tongue, but Susan Collins, don't be a Susan Collins. She's such a effing Susan Collins. Yep, works. So she wants to use the term Susan Collins as someone, essentially a traitor to women who is a woman, right?
Yeah, right.
Much like I was called on Friday night. I posted it on, reposted it on Instagram and also on Twitter. Someone called me a traitor to my own gender.
Yeah.
And I did not pick a side. I didn't say Kavanaugh is innocent. I didn't say Ford was innocent or guilty. I just said, I don't know what happened because I wasn't there. And apparently that was enough to set someone off to call me a traitor to my gender, which is, that's fine.
Yeah, we call those ideologues who view everything through a political lens and can't separate themselves at any point.
It's pretty disgusting the fact that just because I'm a woman or just because anyone is a woman or a male or woman, whatever, or black or white, whatever your demo is, that they have to vote or think a certain way. Like, that's so freaking bizarre. And I know Kanye West brought that up, actually. It was probably one of his better points where he's like, just because I'm black doesn't mean I have to be a Democrat.
Right, right.
You know, I have freedom of thought. I can think any which way I want, and you're not going to pressure me into thinking a certain way. Now, mind you, I think Kanye West is absolutely insane. Like, and he's a narcissist and all those other things, but that is a good point. It's a good point to bring up that, you know, why is she a traitor to women? Like, she should just be, she shouldn't be a traitor to women. She thought that there wasn't enough convincing evidence, and there wasn't. You know, it was her word versus his. They did an FBI investigation. Nothing was corroborated. Nothing showed up. And she said that. She said, listen, there just wasn't enough information to not convict him, but to keep him out of the Supreme Court. And so I'm voting for this guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple, and, you know, I tend to agree with her. I think if we're looking at it for the burden of proof, you have to have some sort of evidence to convict somebody. And even though it's not a trial, that's what I got in a fight with my friends, of course, this weekend. It still shouldn't. You can't just make an allegation and then
ruin somebody's
job or something. You can't just. They said, well, why didn't they just pick somebody else? Because the motive there is that if they pick somebody else, they're going to have to wait till after the primaries.
Mm-hmm.
Democrats are probably going to take over. They wanted their guy in, and it was a political game, mm-hmm. and they tried their best, and the Republicans shoved it through because they had the votes. So, I mean, fair enough. But they do this, too. They'll frame these arguments all the time. Abortion's another one. Well, they'll say it's women's rights. But almost, I think it's like 46% of women in the United States are pro-life.
Sure.
So are they against women too? They are. They frame the arguments
they're
like
Susan
this all
Collins
the time.
Is.
Yeah, and this Kavanaugh thing was down party lines pretty much. I think 36% of women, don't quote me on that number, but were of Republican women supported Kavanaugh. So it was more ladies were against him than men, you know, in polling, which is probably to be expected.
It's expected, but it's such a bizarre concept to be like, she's a woman, I'm a woman. We somehow have this loyalty to each other.
Yeah.
And now if you vote against this woman or you think that she's a liar, then you're a traitor to your
right.
gender? What the hell? How do you even get there, logically speaking? Like, it makes no sense. Like, it should be a case-by-case basis mm-hmm. based on nothing. No gender, no race, no age, no nothing, right? You have two people's stories. And one was not corroborated. There was no evidence to suggest that he did any of this other than her words. And so everybody's like, okay, well, unfortunately for her, there's not enough evidence for this. We're going to vote him in. And now you're a traitor to your gender.
And that's just, that sets such a weird precedent.
So bizarre.
If you're going to say that the accusation alone could disqualify you from a job, what if that happens to you?
Of course.
What if, you know, my buddies are successful in their job. What if some woman comes forward that perhaps has a... facilitated grievance with him and,
sure.
you know, maybe he broke up with her or maybe, you know, I don't know. But if she comes forward and he's about to take over as CEO of his company
mm-hmm.
and then they say, oh, we can't have you because we have this allegation. Well, they could use that and say, well, they'll just pick somebody else. I mean, it's not a trial, but it's still, you have to have some basis there, some evidence
Absolutely.
For this stuff.
And it's so strange to me, like if we can really unpack this and think through it and mull through it, these people who are calling, other people, Susan Collins's or a traitor to your gender or whatnot. These are the same people who are actively protest against stereotypes, right?
Yeah,
you shouldn't
right.
judge someone yeah. based on their color, their yep. creed. You know, oh, you shouldn't think that, oh, black people like fried chicken or Jews are cheap. Like, that's horrible. But if you're a woman, you have to think and vote and believe a certain way. Like, it just, it's so backwards to me. It makes no sense. Please help me out, caller. You're on Stay Woke.
Hey, Anna. Well, it's Glenn. How you doing?
What's up, Glenn?
Hey, Glenn.
Hey, I don't know if I'm going to help you out. You guys make some good points.
Okay.
But I'll say this. It was not a real investigation. How do you have an investigation where the victim or the accuser is not even interviewed? She wasn't even contacted by the FBI. Now, that's a sham.
Yeah, but Glenn, she testified in front of Congress, whatever
Senate,
you call them.
Senate Judiciary.
But Congress do not have the investigative skills of the FBI, not even close.
Okay. What else? What are they? Okay, Glenn, let me ask you this. What would they ask her that they didn't ask her in that hearing?
I don't know. I'm not an FBI agent.
Yeah.
But I know that they can get to the bottom of things with a lot
like
more
interrogate people, like polygraph tests? Like, what are you suggesting?
No, not a polygraph test, but...
Oh.
And here's the other thing. How could you possibly have an investigation, a real investigation, in 3 days?
Yeah. It's the goddamn FBI.
Getting him through.
They can pull some strings.
What were they?
But they didn't. The FBI was directed by the White House. They were limited in the scope.
Glenn, but here's my thing with this. When you say you want to do an investigation, what are they going to investigate? The people that she named as witnesses says, we don't know what she's talking about. I'm not saying she's lying. I just don't recall any of this.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to... She didn't know where the house was. She didn't know
what day it was. She didn't have a phone on her. There's no GPS.
What are you going to investigate?
Right.
That doesn't mean... People block things out. People forget things. I come back to this point. Why did they not interview her?
Okay.
Can you answer that?
I can't answer that. I don't know what that would have done. I don't think she would have given them any other details but the ones that she gave during the hearing.
You
don't
know that.
Okay, sure.
You know? It was not a reasonable investigation. They really, you know, and these people saying that, you know, he was investigated so much.
What do you think she was going to tell them that she didn't say during the hearing? That
I don't know. Like I said, I don't work for the FBI.
This happened. Okay.
But I know.
But did
I know
it happen? Did it really happen? Yes, I really believe it happened. Okay, I don't understand what
if
more.
If you have an alleged crime, you interview the victim and the perpetrator, right? Isn't that kind of basic, you know?
Again, I feel like they did that during the hearing. They both pled their cases over 9 hours of testimony. So I don't know. Again, I don't know. I don't have all the answers, Glenn. I don't. I'm sorry.
Well, it's a tragedy. It's really sad the way this has gone down. And his performance at that Senate hearing was a disgrace. He showed his obvious bias, saying statements like "What goes around comes around."
Well, who said
saying that?
That
he believes this is a conspiracy? He said that.
Possibly.
He said
that. Well, he also allegedly didn't do it, according to him. Obviously,
and perhaps it was a conspiracy against him by the other side.
That's very
plausible. There's a motive for that, at the very least.
That's true.
It's not a conspiracy by the Clintons. I believe this. You know, I believe this person.
Okay. All right. And you're allowed to, Glenn. You're allowed to. I don't know who I believe because I wasn't there, so I'm going to stick with that. But thank you so much for calling in, Glenn. We appreciate it.
Yeah, guys. Love the show.
Love Thanks, you. Glenn. Thank you. Civil discourse, man. We don't have to agree with each other, but God we don't have to yell Glenn. And scream. Yeah, we like
man.
It. Excuse me. What I do want to talk to, and what I would love to get some calls on are, and I've had a few women talk to me about this, women who have sons who are scared, that are, you know, in their, some of them are pretty young, like 8, 9 years old. But, you know, within a few years, they'll be having their first interactions with girls, and they're really concerned about this. You know, how is my son supposed to interact with girls? What if he, you know, touches, like pokes someone's butt or something like that, or does something that an immature, maybe 13 or 14-year-old kid would do? Is this going to bite him in his ass when he's older? Are you scared? What are you teaching your sons these days? Like, obviously, you're teaching them not to assault, don't rape. I mean, I feel like that's pretty, I don't even say people are teaching their sons that, you know, if you're a good person and you're teaching your kid to, like, not hit people, obviously, you know, they're not going to rape anybody. But what are you teaching your kids in terms of how to approach ladies? Like, I would love to hear from dads and moms, like, that have kids maybe in the 13 to 16-year-old range. What kind of discussions are you having with your kids? Are you telling them things that, you know, you wouldn't have told them a few years ago? What would be the case?
You got to be careful. And it's funny, I actually had personal experience with this the other day. You're always supposed to ask, right? That's one of the things that is on the table. You have to get consent before you do anything. Mm-hmm. I am afraid. So I asked a lady, you know, within the past few months if it was okay if I kissed her. And we ended up, you know, doing the whole deal. But she came back to me and goes, yeah, I didn't like when you asked.
Yeah.
And I go, I know. It's insane, but I feel like I can't. I need to because right. I don't want to do anything inappropriate.
Totally understand. I totally understand.
And she said, I completely understand. I get it. But just so you know, it's not a turn on.
Of course. And I would say the same thing if, like, can I kiss you? Because then you put pressure on the lady who's like, yes. And then there's that awkward moment. Do I go in? Or what if she says no? You kind of have to feel it out. But here's the thing. If you get wrong signals or you're reading the signals wrong, you go in for a kiss, you're rejected. Does that mean that that's sexual assault now because she didn't want it?
Yeah,
that's really scary. And I feel like a lot of moms have been talking to me about this. The ones that have sons are like, what if my son decides to go in for a kiss and girl turns away and then she goes, you know what? I was sexually assaulted.
I was made uncomfortable.
So it's kind of scary. But then if they ask, like Will did, then the girl goes, you know what? I really don't like that. That's not very hot.
Yeah,
so
it's not sexy.
No win.
Yeah,
you just
sure.
have to go in for the kiss and hope she likes it. So
there's also this, you know, they say we need to teach boys not to rape. Right? That's a thing that people really believe in. I'm like, yeah, that seems reasonable. Like, but we also need to teach girls that it's okay to say no, too, because a lot of it is they're afraid or, you know, whatever. But we need to teach girls to say, if you're not comfortable with something, then say no.
Absolutely.
Because there's a difference when you're doing some smoocharooskies or something with a lady and she's going, no. And then when she goes, no.
Yeah.
Those are two different things. And
absolutely.
You go, whoa, hold on. Sorry there, you know? And I think that's part of it too, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. You got to be careful, and then you can't, especially with a lot of girls. And I'm not saying that this is always the case, but I've heard a few cases like this where girls don't say no, they do the deed or they do something that they regret. Now they have regretted or regrettable sex. They're not happy with themselves, and then they say, you know what? I was raped.
Yeah.
That happened to someone, not that I know, but you know, someone of I don't want to say a friend of a friend because they're not, you know, a friend, but you know. Told people publicly that she was raped when in reality she just had sex with a guy and she lost her virginity and she regretted it. So she said, you know what, I'm going to turn this into a victim story because it's less shameful than the truth.
Yeah, and that's crazy, yeah. Number one. But that's also taught now at some universities where they're saying if you regret it the next day, that was rape. Now, I said this last week, but if I were to put the sex that I regretted in my life as rape, then I've been raped 50% of my sexual experiences. I mean, that's just the case. I mean, you're not thrilled about it, but it's just sowing your oats. You know, you make some mistakes and
right.
you do some stuff that you probably shouldn't do, but it's not, you know, force. It's just you're dumb.
You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.
813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. If you have a comment or a concern about anything you've heard or anything else, general questions, whatever, leave that there. HMBRadio.com is the website. If you hit the contact page, if you miss that number, you can get it there. Thank you very much for tuning into the Homemade Broadcast. I certainly appreciate it. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, be sure to stay tuned because Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit after that. If you are listening on podcast, man, I sure do appreciate that. Make sure you subscribe and give it a rating while you're there. Word of mouth is the best form of advertising, and I appreciate it. That's just a nice thing to do. This has been the Homemade Broadcast this week. I hope you have a good week. My name is Will Koontz. This is HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye now.
To be free, I just wanted you to know.
You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.